The subject of loyalty is behind many of the daily headlines. President Bush demands loyalty from staff and associates. Many Democrats reached the limits of loyalty to President Clinton after his last-minute pardon of fugitive financier Mark Rich. The current spy scandal points up the ultimate disloyalty to country. On Tuesdays this month, Morning Edition is tackling the sometimes thorny issue of loyalty, what it is and what it means today, with a variety of people who study it, embody it, question it, or have even been battered by it. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg begins this set of conversations with the author of a book called Loyalty.
You always hear that a dog is man's best friend. What does that say about our friendships with people, about all our human relationships? Loyalty is a part of them, surely, but George P. Fletcher says there are shades of loyalty, of necessity. Dr. Fletcher is Cardozo Professor of Jurisprudence at Columbia University. He defines loyalty as a statement of preference for a person, a group, a country, and Fletcher thinks loyalty is a violation of the principle of equality, because you can't be loyal to one person and treat him or her exactly the way you treat everybody else. In these days of high divorce rates, corporate buyouts and takeovers, professional athletes who switch teams as quickly as they change their socks, George Fletcher says the definition of loyalty has changed.
I think that loyalty has diminished in the general structure of American values, and the reason that it is diminished is that we tend to glorify the market. We believe in downsizing, reducing payroll, getting lean and mean, and therefore eliminating all extra obligations. Loyalty is one of those obligations that stands in the way of being efficient. At least that's the way people think about it.
The new loyalty is loyalty to money and me-ism.
Well, I think that's probably true, and that's a perversion. See, one of the functions of loyalty is to define who you are by committing yourself to particular people. And therefore, the notion of being loyal to yourself is something of a contradiction.
But can't you make the case that loyalty is really nothing more than enlightened self-interest? In other words, you're loyal to things, to places, countries, families, businesses that benefit you in some way.
But if you're always thinking about what's good for you, The tendency will be to emphasize what's good for you in the short run. Whereas I think in the long run, loyal relationships pay off. These things are commitments that probably pay off over time, but you never know.
Because the time has collapsed. Here we are now in this globalized world, and I wonder how that fits in, the impact of that notion of one world, or anyway, one world market. What's the impact of that on ideas of loyalty to your country, to locally produced things, to local people?
I think what we're seeing is a revival of local concentration and local loyalty, because the world is simply too large and abstract for people to flourish in one world. On the other hand, we realize that globalization is useful. So what we need is a two-tiered way of thinking. That is, we have to be loyal to our kith and kin at one level, but we have to have a sense for unity on the global level as well.
Professor Fletcher, how do the new media, the internet, all of e-commerce, for example, as opposed to the local drugstore where you used to go and buy the same brand of toothpaste for your entire life, how does all of that affect the notion of loyalty?
These relationships that develop on the internet are basically relationships without any strings, without any obligations. They're purely transient. People come and go in anonymous screen names. There is no sense of loyalty whatsoever. And I think they'd probably leave many people very frustrated. There's a sense of hollowness eventually clicks in, and people realize after a while that there's something missing.
And do you feel that the hollowness is an example of what happens when you give up old-fashioned notions of loyalty, or am I pushing this too far?
I think that's exactly right. I think that there is some sense of the continuity of your own personality that you have to experience in your relationships. When an individual on the internet is constantly shifting conversational partners, it generates a kind of emotional dislocation.
What about blind loyalty, following a path when it is bad, when it does harm, when it's dangerous?
There has to be a breaking point. What loyalty does is postpone the moment in which you leave. Loyalty requires you to stay in a bad situation and try to correct it so far as possible.
But that can be a very good thing, to stick around and see if you can fix it and make it better.
There are conflicts of loyalties. Let's take the problem of loyalty to President Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky affair. Now, I was very interested in all of this, and there was an article in the New Yorker criticizing Clinton himself for not showing as much loyalty to his own people, as a result of which many of his people didn't return the gift of loyalty. And I think those leaders who show loyalty will receive loyalty in return. So in all situations of conflicts of loyalties, you have to decide whether it's the particular person or whether it's the movement or whether it's the nation.
What does being loyal do you think, for us and for the society?
Loyalty creates a certain stability in personal relationships, and I think that it creates in the people who are loyal a sense of integrity and continuity. We know that there are abuses of loyalty, and therefore there's always this tension between the duty of loyalty and our commitment to do the right thing and to be concerned about the right thing.
George P. Fletcher of the Columbia University Law School. His book, Loyalty, was published in 1993. His latest book will be out this spring. It's called Our Secret Constitution, How Lincoln Redefined American Democracy. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.